One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Tailford, joined by Josh Brown.
Hello, Scott.
And Ewan Patterson.
Hello. I'm being blinded by the sun right now. It was cloudy and now everything's in my eye and I'm just...
It's not a nice time. If you're watching along on the video feed, Ewan is doing a Nick Fury impersonation, but he's doing the best he can. But yeah, we've all been living on Avengers all week, sort of to differing degrees of positivity and negativity. Obviously, the review is out. We've got an unboxing out. We thought we'd do a podcast as well. I haven't got that many sort of critical thoughts from the two of you. Just sort of bits and pieces we've sort of checked in with each other. I guess, Josh, I've talked to you least about it. Me and Ewan have sort of talked a little bit back and forward. What's your thoughts?
I want to stress that I'm not like totally very far into the game at all. I've only played a couple of hours. I've only more or less just got past where I was in the beta. So I am coming at it from a different perspective from you two who are, as far as I know, Scott, I know you finished the campaign and I know you're quite far into it.
I've got like two missions left. Yeah.
About 15 hours in.
Yeah. And for me, like even though I've only really played the stuff that was in the beta so far, or at least like the chunk of it, it is better with the added context, I feel, like with the added story context. Yes. I am enjoying it much more than I was. But a lot of my initial problems with the game, you know, they're still there because they were fundamental to the overall experience. But I have warmed on it a little bit, but I still don't necessarily like or love it. And I want to like or love it. My kind of, I guess, overall opinion on it right now is I really enjoy the characters, really love the characterization of the game, really love spending time with them, really love, you know, watching Kamala bounce off all the different heroes, love that thread. But the plot itself, I'm not totally convinced by. And the gameplay itself, while there are flares to it, there are moments where I think it clicks, it suffers, in my opinion, from a lot of repetitive mission design. And kind of, I feel like sometimes that I'm spending more time in a loading screen than I am in a mission, which is a bit of a problem. And I don't know whether that's because I'm missing some kind of side content or something, because I'm trying to go for the, you know, the extra... what would you even call them, I guess? Extra loot in the levels and stuff.
Yeah,
trying to explore. In the chests in a way that I wasn't doing in the beta. But I don't know. I've warmed to it, but not as much as I wanted to.
I was going to say, Ewan, because like you're being comics editor, you know all the source material way better than we do. Like, if you found more points to latch onto, I know that you're more positive on it overall than me. I gave it 2-star in the review, which we can get to.
Yeah. I mean, I thought your review was perfectly honest, and like, I agree with so many different like criticisms of it that you have, and I'm in a very similar position myself in regards to where I am with the game. It's just that me, as a fanboy, approaching it from that perspective, it's one of those games where I can't not enjoy it, if you know what I mean. Like, at the end of the day, and you know, I think the story deserves so much praise because Kamala Khan being the lead of this game is just an inspired decision. She's such a good vector for the audience to get into this universe and approaching it, you know, having this great commentary on like fandom and what hero worship can do. And obviously you can point out later on that, you know, the more exploitative elements of the game probably are a little bit odds at that. Or if you happen to dislike the MCU, you might think that it's actually quite ironically fitting. I don't know. but I am enjoying it. But I think you made a very interesting point in your review, Scott, that if it wasn't Marvel, I don't think I would be at all invested. Now, there are certain things that I really like. I really like where I'm at with the story right now, I think the narrative is great. I really enjoy it. I would say, Josh, stick with it, because there is, like, I feel as though the plot does have a good mystery to it, and it intentionally keeps you in the dark regarding a lot of different elements to begin with, I feel, and I do like where it goes eventually. And again, I think all the character-driven stuff is especially brilliant. You know, the relationship between Kamala and the Avengers and her, you know, galvanizing them all back to action, I think is all handled very well. And where I'm currently at now, I do think that each character that I've leveled up to a certain degree, I still haven't unlocked the last two. I do feel as though they're all distinct and enjoyable to play, and there is it's not a case where I felt in the beta where they were all doing the same role. I am starting to see the little nuances that they've introduced here. The main issue, I think, is just the gear system and the repetitive level design. I played a little bit with a friend yesterday, which was enjoyable as well, but overall I just feel as though it's a game that's like at odds with itself in a way. At one time it wants to be this really like good narrative driven you know, action co-op title, but then at the same time there are so many different elements of it being a loot game that to me feel completely antithetical to what it should be to inhabit the role of a superhero. Right. I shouldn't be being told, oh, Iron Man, you need to disarm this bomb, otherwise the city will go off. And then I'm just like, one second, I'm going to get this loot that's on the other side of the map, and it'll be worth it, even though it's just numbers and stuff. And
the thing is, like the loot system, like it's completely invisible. Like, you know, the only character that has a meaningful difference in terms of loot that I've found in 15 hours is that you can equip different parts of the different gauntlets for Iron Man that change it so that his attacks are either repulsors, lasers, or rockets. Everyone else is
that's
just
not gear related, that's skill related.
Oh, is it? I thought you were swapping out the gauntlet piece.
It's not. Okay. It's not gear related. That's like a skill thing that you do.
Right, okay. Yeah. Either way, like, yeah, you have different access points for him on his skill tree, and you can change those things around. But, like, yeah, the way that they do the whole loot system where it's completely invisible apart from numerics means that every single progression reward is pointless, where it's you're just going to get this thing that is only going to change a number. And it's just, like you said, it can impact the thematics in a way, because it does feel like, why the hell aren't we responding to this thing more directly if it's this big threat or whatever? But there's just that sense of it all just being really grindy, and, like, you know, you'll get told what you're going to get ahead of time. In terms of, like, oh, you know, it's a random comic or something like that. But that's just not enough of a pull, especially, like, over time. And it's meant that they had so many costumes and things that they could have pulled from, different ways that you could have customized the heroes, to have so many palette swaps as costumes, and then other ones behind the battle passes, which we do have paid battle passes per character, unless you want to grind out the daily and weekly challenges, which it feels like you said, it's almost like you have to fight it to have fun. And I'm always so aware of how I'm being manipulated by it when I'm playing it, because I'm like, well, I love the Avengers, I love the MCU, and I love, you know, Marvel ephemera, but all of that is just underneath this giant, you know, soil pile of stuff I have to dig through to get to. Josh, have you found anything similar, I guess, in terms of just that feeling of trying to enjoy it?
Oh, definitely. I have to agree with both of you that the game feels at odds with itself, and it is partly because I love these characters and this universe and the comics and the movies so much that I'm like trying to push myself to the point where I can properly engage with it. You know, it's going to get obvious comparisons to the likes of Anthem and The Division and stuff like that, which I, for the most part, bounced off. I haven't bounced off it as much as I thought I would in the same way as I did those other kind of games as service titles because of that core story mode, essentially. And I find that, at least so far in story mode, I don't know how this is going to roll out as I progress, but when it comes to like the loot, even though I still think it sucks that it doesn't have any kind of cosmetic basis and I'm not thinking about it, it's not as kind of intrusive as I thought it would be. I'm sure that stuff is all in the multiplayer side of it, but when I'm playing through the single player, it's literally me kicking open a chest, auto putting it in. And maybe it's just because I've come to terms with that since we played it in the beta and I just know what it is now, but it's uninspired, but in a way that isn't intrusive, which is important.
I think that's the important thing, that I think it does need to be intrusive. That's the issue. Yeah. I'm not thinking about any of the gear that I interact with or just pick up. L2. It's just like hold L2 to equip best gear. It's all like, oh, you have 300 spaces for all this gear, and some of it's better against frost attacks, or some of it's better against gamma attacks. It's like, I am not engaging with this system in any meaningful way because I do not care about it. I care about leveling up my character and having fun with my friends and playing the Avenger that I want to play, you know. And the gear system to me, it's just a means to an end. I just need to get better gear so I can survive better against higher leveled opponents or whatever. And I think that's the big issue, is that without that cosmetic through line, it's very difficult to invest in. And I think we've all kind of touched on it at one point that maybe they should have taken the leaf out of Injustice's book and looked at that. And, you know, sometimes wacky versions of the characters were created through that gear system. Like, I'm not going to lie about it, but there is a way to make it feel like unique and authentic to your interpretation of a certain mythos, as NetherRealm demonstrated in that game. There is a way to make it so that Iron Man could pick up a certain gauntlet, or, you know, craft your own gauntlets or whatever. Yeah. I don't know. It's just, it's such a weird thing to look at in this game. And like, you're thinking about like being the Avengers and you're going into these missions and doing this, this and that. It's like, why should a superhero's primary motivation be to just get over and kick open your chest or whatever? It's just weird. I don't know. I am optimistic about this game. I should really clarify that. Like, I don't think I'm as downtrodden about it as some other people. Like, I genuinely have high hopes, and I fully believe that everyone that's worked on the game is a big Marvel fan, and there are different forces at play that, you know, kind of, you know, change their hands or whatever. But I definitely think that it's one to keep an eye on, even though I think nothing is quite fully formed yet. And, you know, totally legitimate to criticize it for that. You know, it's a full $60 game coming out at launch. You know, you're not paying just for the privilege of them waiting for, you know, however many years for the game to get good or whatever. I think the story is great. I'm enjoying that. The co-op stuff is neither here or there at the moment. I'm enjoying it when I am with friends. Mm-hmm. But I definitely think in the future, I am oddly optimistic about that. That might just be my fanboyism coming through again. I don't know. Because I want to play as Hawkeye. I want to play as all these heroes that they have. But equally, I am kind of optimistic that the more we get into, the more they'll plug in authentic Marvel locations like Wakanda or Latveria or, you know, somewhere in space or whatever.
Asgard,
yeah. And I feel as though there's so much potential here that just isn't apparent at launch. I don't know how you feel about that.
Yeah, well, the thing I'm super curious what both of you guys think when you've got through the story, because that very much connects to the multiplayer. Like, if you try and go on at the war table straight from the main menu, it pops up and says, look, this is going to spoil the story, so you need to get through the story first, which is true in terms of, you know, you do want to get those things out the way first. But I'm curious what you think or how much potential you think it has when the story is done. I like, that's where it all kind of came together for me, where I was like, okay, I see what you guys are building. The story is very much this sort of like propulsive primer for the multiplayer, and that's a cool idea. I don't think they've got out ahead of it and advertised it very well in terms of saying, look, you're paying for multiple years worth of stuff going forward. I don't think, like, you know, it's not worth a premium price point right now just for the story based on where that goes, because it is just a segue into the multiplayer. It's just sort of like, yeah, it's narrative an online platform for content. It's one of them. And I think that, like, it's done better than most. It's certainly done better than Anthem, and it's done better than Destiny. But at the same time, like, you know, you are paying for an investment across multiple years, or at least months, considering what they've said in the last war table. So those things kind of come through and get in the way as well. We should talk about enemy designs and stuff, though, because I think that shield guys seems to be the only thing they go for if it's not an elemental dude.
I hate those shield guys so much.
Yeah.
I hold down triangle and then the shield's back up again.
And I have
different attacks that like do it. I have qualms with the enemy design in this game. Mm-hmm. I think it's because even though I am starting to get a little bit of a feel of how to counteract certain enemies beyond just, you know, using all my attacks to try and get at them, there are a few where I'm just like, I still haven't wrapped my head entirely around how the countering system works. I still haven't wrapped my head around entirely how to, you know, dodge certain attacks or whatever, you know. And maybe that's the point. Maybe there are certain characters that you just can't block or whatever, and that's the challenge there.
Yeah, they have, with the counter and the parry thing, they're part of some individual characters' harm missions. Like, every character has an individual tutorial that you can pick and go do on the side, even though they also repeat those things in the main story anyway. But if you do someone like Iron Man's tutorial or like Kamala's, then it shows you how to do like specific counters, holding R2 or tapping R2. But like, yeah, it is different counters per character, but they nearly always come down to just pressing R2 when you're being hit. Sometimes it's a hold, like in Kamala's case, or it's a tap with Black Widow. But I like the idea of that being this sort of different thing where I'm going to pick this character and be really good with counters and parries. But another sort of problem I have to go alongside the shield thing is that all the characters, for the most part, until you crack the campaign, feel very similar, like light attacks, heavy attacks. Everyone has a ranged attack. I kind of couldn't believe that Hulk has a ranged attack where he just grabs any clump of dirt, which looks fun, but, like, you know, why isn't his ranged attack something that is Hulk's response to, I don't know, like, give him something else? Like, it kind of feels like ranged attack should be Iron Man, Widow, and then give, you know, like someone like Kamala's fist can can just sort of cross the entire map or whatever.
I mean, maybe you could have made it so that Hulk has a leaping attack where you target an enemy and press R2 and then leap onto them or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I do feel as though, from what I'm playing, I am starting to get a feel for how the characters are a little bit better. I think Ms. Marvel's really good at clearing out areas of enemies and, you know, having that radial effect with her arms, being able to like clothesline different characters. Iron Man is kind of the jack of all trades because you have the repulsors, which are great one-on-one against characters. Then you have his lasers, which kind of have a good like radial effect, and then the rockets, which are just madly good. I think they're a little bit broken currently. The rockets are so good.
I just twigged that thing with the lasers. That's when you press left and right on the D-pad. Same as Widow. Yeah, I was getting that mixed up with the way that I interpreted it when I first played the beta, where it was trying to equip stuff, and it cites like, oh, when you have lasers equipped, this is how you do this. And I was looking through the gear system trying to find some lasers. God, my head. Avengers has been a hell of a week. Josh, what's your thoughts on all the shielded enemies and stuff like that, and the way that they sort of try to differentiate combat that way?
The thing is, right, when I partly agree with you and I partly agree with you, Scott. When it comes to the characters, there is more depth to each one than I expected coming off the beta. That said, I still think they're all limited in the way the enemies are designed, because you do have those enemy archetypes. You have little flying drones. You have the guys who kind of fire those laser rockets. You have the shield guys. And I feel like with each single Avenger, there's only really one way to approach fighting these enemies. You have to hold, you know, a triangle to break the shields, or you can jump over them. It's very kind of limiting in how many options you have. And I feel like if each kind of, you know, Avenger had a couple of their own unique ones, like you said, Ewan, with like give Hulk a leaping attack rather than that ranged rubble throw, it might have gone a long way to help it. But my biggest issue with the entire game, and I could cut it so much more slack if it had more enemy variety and more inventive enemy designs in terms of aesthetics and the level kind of visual design as well. For me, that's like a huge bummer, because I'm looking a lot at you both. My girlfriend has been watching me play it, right? And she has been taking the brunt of my criticisms at it, because I was playing a mission the other night that was just in this warehouse. And I was just like, why? Of all the places you could have set this, you could have used the immense imagination and creativity of the Marvel comics or your own imagination to come up with something. Why am I fighting these robots in a nondescript kind of abandoned shield warehouse? I'm like, there is so much scope, there is so much more you can do with this, there is so much creativity inherent to this world, and it's frustrating to see them go for the same old levels we've seen, the same levels kind of repeated more or less throughout the campaign, and just kind of even the hub world, like the Utah place with
Utah the helicopter and stuff.
Yeah, the Utah Badlands looked like really gorgeous the first time I stepped foot there, but it feels a bit devoid of life, I guess, a bit bland, a bit uninspired. The same with a few of the other hubs that I've been to, even like the cities, like the urban areas. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's lacking something, and I can't quite put my finger on it. What's not there? What's kind of, you know, not differentiating it from so many other similar locations that we've seen, not only in superhero games like before? I don't think it's a necessarily completely bad job. It's just, there's something missing for me, and I feel like that kind of encapsulates the entire experience in a way.
Well, I think that's a good thing to point out. Sorry to butt in, Scott, because I feel as though it's like, it's a thing whether you look at like a Marvel Ultimate Alliance, where, and even in the comics as well, each part of New York will have its own distinct visual style. Obviously, you know, you can play a Spider-Man PS4 and not really tell the difference between the way that I don't know, Queens looks compared to Hell's Kitchen. But if you were going to have a game that was, you know, segmented based on different locations, you would try and distinguish it like it with different visual flourishes. So maybe Hell's Kitchen looks a little bit more gothic. Maybe it has like a red filter or overtone or something. Maybe you could do that. Whereas with here, it's all very much the same distinct uniform style, that kind of sci-fi dystopian kind of thing that they've gone for.
Almost Snyder-ish,
with AIM being, you know, ever present or whatever, and like rolling over everything, I think that makes sense to a certain degree. But again, that's what I feel as though I completely agree with you. It's what it's missing, is that it can't just be this is Marvel in some real world locales. You need to have the visual flourishes that make it really stand out, which is why I'm hoping that they introduce places like Wakanda, Asgard, maybe even a Hell's Kitchen level where you make it that way. Because, I mean, I think the character designs are really good for the main Avengers. I think, you know, there was some criticism about how they looked like a few years ago at the E3 demos or whatever, but I do think they all look really good. And even to a certain degree, I think the enemy design, the way they look, it can be quite menacing at times and compelling. But certainly the environmental design isn't where I think it needs to be right now, and more thought and consideration could have been put in there.
The thing that stands out to me is that every single level is one big hub world with chests and prisoners that you can go up to, bash the locks off the place, free the prisoners. Sometimes you walk up to them and they teleport, but you've got one big area where you explore as much as you want with your tactical awareness thing. Then you go down an elevator and then you get, like Josh said, the warehouse or some sort of underground lab or something, and then it's done. And sometimes you beam into a level and you just go from the Quinjet to just being like from a load screen into an underground thing already, beat up a few dudes, mission complete. It's stuff like that makes me feel like at some point in this game's development it was a dedicated single player game, or at least they were working towards something that had more of a focus on levels themselves, like in terms of detail and things you were going to see and pick out from the background, because the environments themselves are so detailed to the point where they could be in a story-based game, entirely story-based game like Spider-Man or something. But then, you know, somewhere along development it became this bigger scope thing, it became this sort of multiplayer infused matchmaking thing, and all these levels that were maybe potentially stitched together to some degree are now hubs for each individual play space to drop back into and do handfuls of missions over and over and over again. Because that's another thing with the multiplayer, is that you are just rerunning those story missions over and over, sometimes with the exact same intros and outros in terms of the character dialogue and stuff like that, which that's another thing, is if I go down that route and believe that they did take something and then spread it out over the next few years, then the full scope of what this game potentially was story-wise isn't going to be revealed for the next 1 or 2 years. And this is just how much they could quote-unquote get away with putting out first and then just drop things going forward.
Oh, God, that's an evil approach.
In a way, it totally works if they'd nailed the content that is here. Like, if the levels that they put out, they could have done it. It's almost like a quasi-episodic approach where it's like, okay, we'll put out, because right now there are like 6 to 7 environments that you can access if you rotate the war table or whatever. By the time you've done the story, you have about 6 to 7 environments, and you can explore them, but they're all the same in terms of what you do. It's always chests, prisoners, and then the underground elevator thing. If that was more engaging, then we would love playing in those spaces for the next few weeks or months, and then they could plug in additional levels, additional stories. You know, you would be revisiting those areas, realizing that a certain villain was now on the loose or something, and all of that could have worked. They don't have any of that in terms of, you know, something engaging as a pull, other than just play as the Avengers in these spaces. And I think that's where it falls apart, because it's the bare minimum. But it's potentially only the bare minimum because they've had to stretch it out and release stuff going forward. At least that's my theory.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
It could be. I want to ask you guys, going off the level design thing, you know, early on, there was some, the intro is obviously really great. Mm. And when you're sneaking around, I think it's Memorial Park, and you've got like the teepeed statue of the Avengers and stuff, and it's kind of being desecrated in a way. Mm. Is there anything, I thought that was so cool, but is there anything like that as the story progresses? Because I thought that was quite a neat little touch. You can tell a lot of love had been poured into that kind of design. But when I got, like I said, to like the Utah Badlands, when I got to the big snow area, I was just like, where are these little pockets of life, I suppose?
That stuff almost almost reflects the pace of the story, because you kind of have this slow build. In a way, I could argue in support of the pretty color-drained art design. Like what Ewan said, it's like over that course of 5 years in between the accident and where we are now, if you contrast how colorful and hyper-energetic and enjoyable that opening section is with Child Kamala versus the color-drained featurescape, the almost dystopia that comes after, that could all be completely intentional. And then that sort of reflects in the pace overall with the story, where the more things start to kick off in the story, the less time you have to take in landmarks and stuff, because you are responding more to taking the fight to aim. At the very beginning, they sort of land those beats better. The opening, like we said, is great. Stuff like that, when you first go to Heroes Park, it really stands out, and you take in the ramifications of what it means to lose someone like Captain America. They don't do that going after that. It becomes more like you're playing multiplayer areas. I think that's just sort of reflective of, like I said, it's a primer for the multiplayer. They want you to start thinking in those mentalities and pushing you towards matchmaking and just fighting waves of enemies. It's, in a way, it's completely intentional, and it quote unquote works in terms of engendering you towards the mentalities of multiplayer, but that it gets in the way of the grounding that they set up in the first place.
The only other compelling locale for me is the helicarrier. Once you finally get that going, that is full of vibrancy and charm and Easter eggs and different things that you can do in there. I think that's a great hub world. You know, I got a real sense of satisfaction of rebuilding the helicarrier, and then eventually, getting it to the point where I can feel as though that's an actual platform to then launch it at different things. I really enjoyed doing that, and I loved exploring it. And you know, it's the same sort of thing where you're approaching it from Kamala's perspective as a fan, and you're like, oh my god, this is Iron Man's room, this is Hulk's room, this is, oh my god, there's all this. She even freaks out over the herbs they've let die in the science bit. It's great. I love it. I love that energy. But totally, I think the issue is that a lot of the environments in this game are not uniquely Marvel environments, as opposed to the beginning of the game and different things. I'm not going to say that every single Marvel superhero game needs to be a veritable who's who of different locations, or where's of veritable locations. I don't know. But certainly I feel as though, even though Marvel itself is a universe that prides itself on reflecting the world outside your window, and it has always been grounded in real world sensibilities, there needs to be more to it. There needs to be more comic bookiness injected into certain environments. And obviously, AIM have got the whole sci-fi dystopian evil genius vibe down to a T. But it certainly needs more to it than just, here are some ominous looking platforms and warehouses. It needs to have something with a little bit more visual flourish. And again, maybe we'll get that when they introduce more heroes further down the line. But at the same time, I totally sympathize with people that don't have the, I'm not going to say patience to gel with it right now, because it is a full game. Let's not, beat around the bush, but certainly haven't vibed with it, I guess.
There is like a big sort of investment. It is almost hey, play this, but it won't get really good for a good few hours. There's some stuff that hits you up front, the immediate intro, but then there is sort of bits and pieces in that story where it's slowly coming together, and things that they touch on, the Inhumans and Hank Pym, and the potential, the rebellion faction that's coming together to go up against AIM. Those are all great things that I like in theory, but for me, they don't pay pay them off by the end of the story, but it's, you know, whatever. It's like I said, it's factoring into things that could happen across the next few years. I guess if we talk about the idea of like, yeah, where's it going to go from here? Like you said, you kind of have faith in where it's going to go. And I stressed that in the review as well. I think that there is character and promise in here. It's just so buried. Josh, what would you do going forward? What would you change? Like, cause I've had a few people tweet, or we probably all have people tweet us just saying like, what would save this, quote unquote, like how do you see it getting better?
It's difficult. I just want kind of like more dynamic encounters or something, more variety when it comes to what you're doing. I don't want to sort of kind of know what I'm in for before I actually do it. And I know in terms of the plot, like you said, Ewan, that's obviously holding some things close to its chest. It's obviously got some mystery there. But I mean, in terms of gelling the mission design, the characters, the gameplay structure with that plot, because I feel like even in some of like the best moments early on, there was a weird disconnect between the actual gameplay and watching the cutscenes. In a way, I have not got anything more out of the game than I would have if I watched it on YouTube, which sounds like really bad. But when I was watching this unfold, I thought this is really good. When I was playing it, I thought I just want to get to the next beat. I just want to get to the next, you know, character moment, the next plot twist or whatever. And I just want more of that going forward. I want to feel like what I'm doing in game matters. And you get that on the bridge, I thought, quite well. And if there's more set pieces like that going forward, if you can integrate that into the post-launch stuff, that would be great. But otherwise, I just kind of feel like I'm not in control of anything important, which kind of sounds like really strange. It's sort of like I'm doing the boring admin bits in between the big superhero bits, which is strange. And hopefully it's not like that throughout the game, but that's, I'm like, what, 4 hours-ish in, and I still feel like I'm hitting tutorials every other mission, which is really strange. It's an odd experience. It feels like potentially like it's all like Scott said, at least from a gameplay perspective, build up to this end game and multiplayer section that, to be honest, I might not have the patience to even get to. I want to finish the story. I will finish the story. But in terms of like investment, I think I'm the exact kind of person Ewan's talking about, where right now I want the future to be good. I want to see it succeed. Whether I'll be around to experience it myself, I'm not entirely sure.
Is something bad happening to you?
it's happening to the PlayStation 4 Pro. It's getting uninstalled.
Oh, mine's like died 3 times in the past week.
God, we've all had stuff like that.
From different glitches in this game, which I think, you know, it could be potentially brought up. But I was going to say, one thing that I'm hopeful for with the post-launch content is that it is narrativized. We've already seen the trailer. I don't know if you've both seen the trailer for the first content batch they've got with Kate Bishop and Clint Barton, where it's going to be about searching what happened to Nick Fury. I think that's really interesting and cool. And obviously I say that as an unashamed Hawkeye fanboy. So like I get 2 Hawkeyes in this game and it's pretty great. I can't wait. And, you know, getting to experience that. And I will also say that every time they have introduced a new Avenger to the game, I'll reintroduce them rather, going on from the A-Day intro. I have been positively giddy every time I've like gotten into it, because each time they come in, it's like everything's, we're going to do the thing now. It's going to be really great. Like I've had that kind of, it's happening kind of moment. And I want to keep getting those moments every time I first suit up as like a new character post-launch. That's something I really want them to nail. And that evolving narrative element is what I'm most excited about. Obviously, the way it is right now, it is just a bunch of the same levels rehashed over and over again with thinly veiled objectives and stuff being like, oh, we have an aim thing we need to destroy, or we have some hostages to rescue or whatever. Make it more compelling, make it more unique, make it more dynamic, and really hone in on why people love Marvel beyond just the characters, because there is a unique, it's the same with DC and Marvel. They both have their own uniquely, potentially unquantifiable characteristics that draws fans to them. Tap into that, and you'll have a very enjoyable game and platform that people want to keep coming back to. Make it more reactive. Like we mentioned before the game came out, I think, Scott, you mentioned there was that whole idea of maybe, you know, you get a notification on your phone and it lets you know that, I don't know, Stiltman is running wild in New York and you've got a link up with Daredevil to take him down or something like that. I don't know. That's something that I think it needs to have. It needs to have that more dynamic element at play.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the stuff that they, like I said, they're so close to that. By the time you finish the story, you've put some hours into the multiplayer and you've got the additional narrative missions out of the way, because each character has one. They have one, but then some of them just boil down to get 2,000 shield faction rep, yes, or whatever. Stuff that's just mind-numbing. But once you get that stuff out of the way, it's like, okay, you guys have a live war table that it says live in the corner. It's like bringing in data from Square Enix's servers, and they can plug different encounters into that. And I like the idea of that, because we talked about that pre-release, that that's potentially what this game was going to be, and that's so close to that. In terms of, you know, about the time you finish the story, you know which characters you like, they're all very differentiable because you spec'd in certain ways. Maybe you factor the loot into that. I don't think the loot system does enough, but it could over time. And then all of a sudden, yeah, you get a notification somehow, maybe an email or something, I don't know, telling you that, hey, yeah, by the way, a villain is out saying such and such, you and the boys need to get together and go fight that person. And you're like, cool, I'm Iron Man in my squad and I've spec'd that way because the game doesn't allow doubles, and you can all come together and respond in real time. Like, that's really cool. But I just don't know. That would also require them doing more with the mission design and the hub worlds and making those environments feel engaging and worthwhile to be in at a certain point. But the idea of them doing live events like Fortnite or Call of Duty or whatever, where everyone's involved as Galactus punches through a cloud above you or something, yeah, you know, there is potential for that. I think that's maybe what they're going for, but just something feels so wrong with it as it is. It just feels so split and butchered at the minute to get there over time.
Yeah, I feel like, I know you and you haven't encountered any of these problems, but to me, it could have used a couple more months in the oven, because not only do I think there are kind of like fundamental issues with the loot and the progression of the levels and stuff, but also like I've had an absolute nightmarish experience just trying to play it. Like the amount of bugs and glitches I've encountered, and usually I'm one who can overlook a lot of that stuff. You know, I don't mind textures popping in every 3 seconds or something, but the stuff that I've encountered has been like, has been bad. It's been like crashes. It's been QTEs not registering and then suddenly coming in. It's been cutscenes being skipped. It's set pieces not working properly. It's at least Kamala. So far. Yeah, yeah, bald Kamala. It's like it is a constant in my experience. Every single time I've booted up, there's been at least a couple I could have like, you know, done without to make it more immersive, make the whole thing feel a bit more cohesive, I guess, polished, I suppose is the word I'm looking for, and it just doesn't feel there right now. And but that
they're
makes
patching
me
it like so much like, as well.
There's another patch today. I logged on at lunch just to see where it was.
10 gig launch day, and then another one, which is like makes them feel like they're aware of that. That it's like that's another part of it as well. If I'm right about the way they've split stuff up, or the fact that they had to change production schedules so much, then it does feel like they're scrambling to make whatever is available now work. But there is like an element of instability with it. I mean, you sent me a picture last night of someone who had disappeared through the
floor. Yeah. I mean, on my first day playing. I have to qualify this by saying that my PS4 is literally the Millennium Falcon from Empire Strikes Back at this point. I'm literally like trying to get it ready to go. I'm like, hey, let's go and play some games, and then it'll just go like it's just really bad. And I ended up having a corrupted save on the Monday when we first got the codes in, which sent me back by a day, which was frustrating. But mostly my main issues have been texture poppins. I've had there was a cutscene that I had yesterday where Thor was just skipping through the cutscene, like he was like going like that. It was really, really bad. For closed captions there, for people who can't see the video, I just glitched through just like 2 frames per second. It's really annoying. And then we also had yesterday, like I said, the guy who fell through the floor, and like I had to restart the mission because it was after a certain bit, and then it's like clear the area. It's like, oh, I can't because the guy is underneath the floor, so I can't clear it. So that sent me back about 10 minutes or 15 minutes or something. So that was annoying. But again, I've not had anything to the degree that you fellas have.
Console completely locked up. I reset the whole thing.
I've had unresponsive menus as well. I should probably clarify. Right. I've had it before where I've been stuck in the gear menu. It won't let me leave. I'm like, is that intentional? Are you keeping me hostage here?
Got the UI as well. I mean, we can wrap this soon, but like, yeah, the UI and stuff as well. I find that it's just not intuitive whatsoever. Like you're trying to have this sense of flow. Like that again, there's a way for this to work where you are embarking on missions. You're getting a bunch of different pieces of loot, even if they are just numerically based, but you're keeping aware of those stats and you're ranking things up or leveling things up and specializing in certain ways and whatever. All that stuff should be so fluid if that's going to be this core part of your game. And I always feel like you have to fight the menus as well to sort of like button through different stuff, and the frame rate's all over the place and things like that. Just unpleasant.
A lot of words.
Everything's just sort of like more obtuse than it needs to be, man. Like the UI, the, like the menus, even, and I don't know why this is such a problem for me. I don't know if you guys agree or whether I'm just extremely nitpicking, but the camera feels so sluggish and unresponsive. And I've tried to fiddle around with it. I'm like, why? Why is it like this? And I was watching the gym still and like first impressions of it. He like completely ragged on it. But he also mentioned the camera, and I was like, yes, finally someone's mentioned the camera. I thought it was just going too close. A bit crazy.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's strange because I think most of the time, for the most part, for the camera, most of the time, I thought that was fine. There was just a couple of times when I was, like I said, in the underground sections where it was just way too close and I'm getting hit off screen. And because I'm fighting on like harder difficulties, those off screen blasts do so much more damage. And I'm like, oh, well, I just died because of numbers. It wasn't anything to do with skill. I just got hit with the same chip damage attack from over there. But because I'm on a certain difficulty, that thing then took out 3/4 of my life. And okay, I guess I need to go grind some more stuff, which is kind of just part and parcel of an action RPG. But you know, you can minimize how much enemies off screen hit you. that's a thing that can be done. And it just, you know, it can feel really cheap and annoying, especially if you lose time in that way. So yeah, general final thoughts, chaps, because we'll keep checking on the Avengers, because obviously it's a big old deal and we've been waiting for it for like 3 years in development as well. Ewan, what's your final sort of thoughts for where you're at right now?
As much as it's a labor of love to love this game, I will be sticking with it because I have friends who are also big Marvel fans and will get a kick out of playing it together. I think it's one of those things that I'm going to have to watch and see how my patience goes for it within the next couple of weeks, and see where it goes. I'm certainly going to be around for the first content drop, and you know, that first batch of content is really going to be the first test for me, because I do want to stick around. I do want to keep enjoying it and stuff, but it all depends on how dynamic and how much they keep it updated and stuff. It's a big ask. It's a big thing that I've never really been one for games as a service titles. I mean, I played Destiny and bounced right off that because it just wasn't appealing to me. And I've never really gone to try any other, you know, as a service titles either. Mm-hmm. So this is like my first big one. And I am fully conscious of the fact that the reason why I want to keep playing is because of the license and not because of the way the game plays. But again, I am optimistic that things will get better and maybe the license will be enough for me. I have no idea. You know, at the moment, I do think it is a very deeply, you know, flawed game, but there is enough to keep me interested.
There is something there, though. That's the thing.
That's what I mean. There is a clear element of heart and charm that has gone into certain bits of it. It just needs to bring that out a little bit more. And I hope they take on everyone's concerns regarding the microtransaction elements and, you know, the gear system or whatever, because if they do act on feedback, which they have said they are, then... yeah, I could see myself playing this for a long time to come. But again, it's something that I can't really answer until, you know, a month or so from now.
Yeah. It's definitely like we're in it for the long term, the long haul. Yeah, I mean, in terms of a lot of the stuff, in terms of the more egregious stuff, the push towards the individual character battle passes and the things like that, for me, I think they'll stay in place for the launch window, and then they'll tweak everything and make it more palatable.
When the Hawkeye one comes, you guys are going to have to strap me to a tree or something and just hold me off like Jack Black in Tropic Thunder. I'm just going to be there trying to get to it. You guys might hold me back.
Josh, what's your final thoughts?
I thankfully don't hate it like I really thought I was going into it, but I also don't like it either. And I can't shake the fact that I feel like fundamentally buying into it right now at launch, you're getting the worst possible version of this game.
That's very
you're getting
true.
It at its buggiest, you're getting it at its most strapped for content, you're getting it at its priciest with all of these extra skins and stuff locked behind you know, microtransactions and that. And I feel like if you wait, there might be a great game there eventually, like a lot of these live service games, you know, eventually turn out. But fundamentally, I think outside of the core story and characters, unless you're a huge Marvel fan, I don't know what's going to be here for you that hasn't already been done in a bunch of different similar, you know, titles, a bunch of different multiplayer games, a bunch of different live service story games. But if you are a Marvel fan, it might be worth a jump in because the characters and the writing, and like you both said, there is that nugget of charm and personality and passion that's there. You just do have to fight yourself to find it, I think. And it is fundamentally like a big ask to do that, I think.
Yeah.
Especially when there's you know, we're going into the holiday season, is going to be so many games. I'm already that distracted boyfriend meme, you know, going away from Avengers, looking towards Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2. I think it's benefited right now from there being very other, well, coming off a month where there wasn't many big AAA games, you know what I mean? Like, that was the reason I was playing it. And when other games come out, I can see it getting sort of pushed down or overshadowed by them.
It needs a much bigger, yeah, it needs like a big sort of stadium-sized hook to be like, you need to play this because insert thing, whether that's a story hook, a narrative event, a live event, something like that. But yeah, I think it has potential as well. I just think that it's like, it's so hampered by a lot of what feel like corporate decisions, but you can see the little nugget of creative goodness at the heart of it. And hopefully that sort of gets to blossom over time. But yeah, let us know what you think down in the comments below, or come find us on social media. How have you been getting on with the Avengers? Have you managed to pick it up, or are you going to wait and see how things go across the next few months? And for now, this has been the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I've been your host, Scott Tailford, joined by Josh Brown.
Goodbye.
And you in person.
Disassemble. Yeah.
And we'll catch you all next time.
Hey, Captain A, America. Hey.
You're going to keep doing it unless you quit right now.
Bye.
5. Small details are big surfaces, tight corners are odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style. Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.